You were just lucky. Next time, you won't be so lucky. It's Matinee with Abe and Bill. Good afternoon, Charlie.
Wait a minute, I can't talk over all this.
You notice one of those eyeglasses has real glass in it and the other has.
All right, Green, get up.
Green has been causing a lot of trouble all during rehearsal today.
I promised myself just one more stepping out of order for Bill Green, and he was to be dismissed.
Well, this was it, because making a rapid tabulation...
Turn in your Sam Brown belt, green visor cap, sneakers, and move, Green. And I don't care if you do have children. I don't care.
Did you see the swindle sheet he was making up on his automobile today? Huh? The insurance company doesn't listen, I'm sure, Bill. Did you see that?
No, Bob, I didn't.
$300 for a new paint job.
What?
Yes. Oh, one little itsy bitsy scratch on
it. Bill, remember, you must live with yourself.
Oh, no.
Every
conscience.
Morning.
No conscience.
Every morning you have to look at that face and shave it. You sometimes get the temptation to go deep, way down deep.
He probably enjoys the distinction of being one of the country's foremost shavers without looking in a mirror.
Excuse me, I should
reason.
Get a haircut, you know. It's so warm with this crop on this morning.
No.
I've noticed it because I was just down in my office, Bob.
Were you?
Reading poetry.
Uh-huh.
I love to read.
I notice you've been doing that more and more lately.
I don't know. I believe I'm getting as soft as a grape.
I think you are.
Why do I love you?
Quote some of the poetry, will you?
All right, yes. I thought of you, my darling, this morning when I looked out into the garden, and there, overnight, a beautiful chrysanthemum.
You want me to take the slop bucket out of you now, or do you want to leave it a while?
Wait till I finish with the poem, for goodness sake.
Just clear it up.
Well, incidentally, before I go on, don't move it.
Okay.
Leave it here. Oh, my darling. I looked out into
the... Oh, you put a little closer?
I looked out into the slop bucket, the garden, and there I saw a chrysanthemum, a crassum, a big, big flower, winking and blinking at me, and your face danced. Just a minute. Wait a minute. Bob, I can't read poems with you carrying...
You make those poems come to life so that bees and mosquitoes are actually flying around in the studio.
Something about it, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if Shirley Mae France is going in the big drink today.
Today the day she's supposed to do it?
Either today or tomorrow, I understand. In fact, the Cuban swimming star, Jose something.
Naturally.
Well, because of my loose pivot tooth, I won't say his name. What is it?
That was Ken Wilson that said that.
Costanay, something like that. I may be all wrong. But he is going to swim this afternoon. He's leaving from Calais, France.
Oh, is that so? He's coming the other way. They'll meet
midstream.
No,
they always start from France. I don't know why. I believe there's an advantage as far as the tides go, starting from France. I know when I tried it, I started from Dover, England, and I didn't get very far.
That's so?
Not more than 15, 20 miles.
See, I haven't.
Just a moment, boss.
Wait a minute.
Look, we're talking, John.
The roof is blown off here. The whole thing is blown up in our
face. Well, if it isn't my dear, beloved friend, Leo Egan.
Yes, I spoke to him briefly in the hall today.
Did you sum up for Leo what I've been thinking
I wanted day? To know the inside story of the thing, and he told me.
Yeah. And doesn't it sound like something he dreamed up on the way up from Hummerock?
Sounds typically Egan.
Sounds like a phony story to me.
Sure does.
All I know is that I won't be out at the ball game tonight. That's all I know.
Okay.
And I'm going to break into tears any minute, and I'm afraid to go on that subject.
Well, we can help you do that if we have a song.
All right, let's listen to Ken and Bill.
Thank you.
cigarette, and then we can get into our studio audience.
Oh, we can't, because the engineer's on the phone now.
Oh, excuse me, Charlie. I didn't mean to catch you that way.
Chesterfield over and over again. Chesterfield satisfies women and men. Milder, much milder, all smokers agree. Always by Chesterfield ABC.
ABC.
What's up?
He picked that beat up pretty well, didn't he?
Ken is very alert.
Should we give a demonstration of his left leg not playing today?
No, I don't believe so, Bob. It isn't interesting.
Well, I have my portable microphone, and I'm going down into the audience here and interview some of the happy guests who have
Why don't you do that, Bob? Let's kill a little time.
All right. You, sir.
Yes?
Your name?
Stephen. I don't want to give my last name.
Why not?
I'm wanted by the police.
Oh, what'd you do?
Forged.
Oh, did you?
I forged ahead.
Uh-huh.
And it was a pretty tough job here.
How long ago was this?
Here's the little head I forged.
Oh, this little head you brought right along here,
yeah.
Huh?
Yes, I did, sir. I threw it in my workshop.
Cute little box you've got it in there, too. What do you do for a living besides forgery?
I just forge ahead. That's about all I do.
That's all, huh?
That's when my livelihood.
It is. Do you make a pretty good thing out of it?
Not very well. I'm pretty hungry. I'll sum up that way.
Are you really?
I don't eat often.
What brought you up here today?
Cool up here.
Yes, it is.
It's pretty hot outside.
Let's try this lady over here. How about you, madam?
All right.
No, you, madam, here.
Oh, yes. Don't you recognize me,
Bob? Oh, Mary Magoon.
Yeah, uh-huh.
I don't usually see you sitting in the audience. I thought maybe...
Well, how come you're broadcasting from this huge auditorium today?
Well, the studio where we usually broadcast from is being repaired.
Oh, is that so? What happened to it?
They put us over here in this huge auditorium. So,
did Ken and Bill break it or something?
I don't know what happened to
uh-huh.
the studio.
Yes.
I think maybe it was something to do with the electrical connection.
Yes, Bob.
It's one of those technical things that we don't discuss.
Well, I wouldn't be up on. I don't know much about...
Fear of embarrassing the engineering department.
I don't know much about electric.
No, so that's why we're here in this huge audience studio.
I see. Yes, Bob.
You can get an idea of how big it is. I'm going to yell to Ray. He's gone down to the back of the...
It is,
back
mammoth.
...of the theater. And
too tired.
You'll hear an echo. Ray! See, he can't
Hello?
Hear me so far. Ray! Oh, Ray!
Hello!
You see, Mary, he's way back there in the back row. Now, Ray, will you come in here a little bit closer, please? Walk down the aisle. Here he is.
Yeah, here I am, right here.
Didn't take you very long.
Well, I ran halfway down, Bob.
Did you? You're not out of breath at all.
Well, I'm in good shape. I'm at my fighting weight right now, which means I'll probably be meeting Ike Williams for the championship this coming Tuesday.
Well, we'll look forward to that. What are you doing to train for the big event?
Same old thing, Bob. I go up to the Poconos Mountains. I have a little place up there, and I go into stiff training.
You do, huh? And, you think you'll be all set Tuesday night to step into the ring?
If I'm stiff enough.
Well, good luck to you, and
thank
we'll
you.
Be there at ringside.
Thank you very
with
much, Bill.
Our portable sir. Microphone.
Thank
and
you.
And that's the inside story of another great sport.
Well, I don't know. Say, Bob, I got a shock for you today.
Oh,
we have a new commercial from Triffitt, Jackson, and Nolan. That great triple
play. I wondered whatever happened to them.
Triffitt, Jackson, and Nolan sent over a new commercial for their swell account, the Park Lane Lounge Bar.
Is that so? I was over there last night to dinner, you know.
Well, you brave thing.
I went in.
Did
I
you
figured,
eat there?
Yes.
Hey, look at Bob, everybody. He ate over there.
Do I look any different today?
No, you look pretty good as
well. The food is still wonderful over there. I haven't been in there for several weeks, but boy, it's right up to snuff.
Can you eat there?
No, the food is
well,
good.
Incidentally, hot weather, of course, usually puts a crimp in the old appetite. Is that true?
I believe
yes,
you are right on that.
So when dining in cool air-conditioned atmosphere, a full-pound juicy sirloin steak still hits the spot. Am I right on that?
You're right. I believe on that.
The Park Lane at 214 Boylston...
I believe that's right.
The Park Lane at 214 Boylston Street has all the cool comfort to relax you these warm, hot evenings.
Boy, it sure does.
Now, there's refreshing cocktails, cool chef's tossed salads, lamb's tongue.
Did Tippett put that into the copy?
I did.
Oh.
Cold cuts, roast beef, calf's foot jelly on a bagel, lobster, chicken, fruit salad with sherbet, and many other hot weather delights.
Gee, that really delightful.
Now, soft music, friendly, courteous service.
The music, incidentally, is not conducted by the man you thought it was, Ken. He has long since departed. Someone else is over there.
Soft music, friendly, courteous service, and the pleasant surroundings of the park lane make you forget the heat and enjoy yourself. Sometimes you forget the check.
While I was there last night, I took my portable recorder and noted some of the music that was playing there and for cool, relaxing comfort. I wonder if you'd like to play that record, Charlie, of the music
from the park lane. Put it on, park Charlie. Lane. We'll listen to it.
I think this starts with a piano or something.
You want beans or beans for that?
Nothing. I ain't that hungry. Just give me the steak.
You gotta take one or the other. The menu says steak, potatoes, and one vegetable.
Now, will you take this bread out and run it through the gravy for me?
You gotta take that.
Okay.
You gotta take it.
Well, I won't eat it.
You can have succotash if you want.
Okay, I'll have that. And look, take this bread out to the
pretty
kitchen.
Pretty hot thing for succotash, though. Wouldn't advise.
Well,
it.
I don't care. Just bring me something.
I wouldn't advise
just
that.
As long as you dip this bread in the gravy for me
I'll
the kitchen.
I'll take care of your bread and the gravy. Don't worry about that.
Thanks a lot. That's one thing about this here Park Lane. The courteous service knocked me down.
Get anything
pick
you
me
want.
Up, you see?
Yeah.
Anyway, friends, just to get sensible again, the Park Lane is the greatest place in the Western Hemisphere. And, incidentally, you'll see many of your friends at this rendezvous of the entertainment world.
You'll meet celebrities there, such as I did last night. I took along my portable recorder, and I wonder, Charlie, if you'd play the record of the celebrity interview I made there at the Park Lane.
I understand you ran into Carl Cleaver.
Carl Cleaver was there. Will you spin that, please?
There we are, sitting at the table with Carl Cleaver, who is here in town for a brief visit. Carl, I wonder if you'd say hello to all our friends.
Who are you?
Hmm?
Who are you?
Oh, I'm on a radio program that we have.
So what? I'm trying to eat my dinner. Do you mind?
Thanks. Are you enjoying yourself, Carl?
I don't believe I'll have to stay. Will you please leave me? You're a
We'd
pest.
We'd like to know just what you're in town for and just a few things.
Do I go asking you what you're doing in town?
Well, okay, and thank you, Carl Cleaver.
Move along before I stuff the microphone down your throat.
Yes, you'll meet celebrities and a lot of your friends there at the Park Lane.
It's handy, too. It's just across from the public garden, the Park Lane, 214 Boylston Street. After a trip on the swan boats, you know how hungry you get.
Sure.
You come down the gangplank and shoot right across the public garden. And right
That's after you've gone through customs.
That's right. And right into the Park Lane Lounge. Incidentally, one of our newsmen has returned from Europe.
Walter McEnany.
Walter McEnany returned. He spent 3 weeks. And I don't know how he got around to all the countries he did manage to get.
He visited just about everywhere over there, didn't he?
He did. He was down in Italy and up in the Swiss and French Alps.
Mm-hmm.
He was in England and Ireland, France, of course. I don't know where else he was. He was all over the place, and he did it in 3 weeks.
Quite a trip. It proves it can be done in this workaday world of ours.
He had a wire me for money.
Oh, he did?
I turned him down, Bob.
Well, I don't blame
him.
It was
a bad risk.
You can't trust those newsmen in there.
Of course not. And I don't know how he worked up the money to get back to the States, but unfortunately, he's back again, typing the news for us announcers with his elbows.
I don't know how he got back, but I know he arrived on a tramp steamer.
Well, you know, so much for that. But let's get right over to Linda's house because there's a brand new episode starting.
Okay.
One I won't want to miss. I don't know about you people listening.
The Life and Loves of Linda Lovely, written for radio by A. Carrington Lux. Today, episode 74, book 53, chapter 112, page 65, line 14. Linda speaks.
Oh, dear. David, my darling.
David, who left this morning for New York, is nowhere to be seen in the small house.
A fine time to tell me.
You're jumping your line.
Yes,
Linda.
I'm sorry, sir.
So we see Linda all alone before a crackling fire, gazing out at the temperature through the sealed-up window.
Oh, my darling.
No. Excuse me, Bob, but what can she say if David isn't there?
Just read the lines that are written for you.
Okay.
David, come over here a minute.
Well, that's so silly, Bob. He isn't here.
What?
We don't argue with Lump. He writes this every day. But he Lump may be a little bit off his mood.
But there's been talk around radio circles that Lump is off his rocker.
Well, I'm sorry. We're contracted for another 13 weeks, and we've got to do it the way he writes it.
David, would you come over here, please?
Linda, what about George and Eddie?
Oh, Uncle Eugene! Thank goodness there's somebody to
see. Well, now, he took care of everything. She didn't know David had left.
Oh,
I see, yeah.
See, and Uncle Eugene was upstairs, and he came down.
Well, why don't they talk together?
That's probably exactly what happened.
Well,
if you let Lump have his own way, you'll find out.
I know, Bob. I'm awful.
Now, let's see what goes on. Okay, Linda.
Uncle Eugene.
I left for New York this morning, Linda.
Oh, wait a minute. No,
you mean Lump wrote that in the script?
How could he say that?
Oh, what's going
That's
on
That's what
here?
It says here, Bob. But just read the lines. Was lit for
Will somebody run out and get Lump, please, and bring him
Lump
in here.
Lump left for New York.
On.
So I'm afraid we'll have to wait until tomorrow to clear this thing up.
Gee, well, that's
kind of a confusing state of affairs.
There was something startling going to happen, I figured.
Speaking of affairs, when you go by train to New York, will you finish that, please? You're traveling the cleanest, coolest, safest, most comfortable way possible. And with your New Haven Railroad offering faster Boston-New York schedule, speed becomes another attraction for you on your next trip. Take New Haven's popular Yankee Clipper or the luxurious Merchants Limited, for example. These great New Haven trains leave South Station and Back Bay and take you into Midtown New York in just 3 hours, 55 minutes. The Yankee Clipper leaves Boston at 1 p.m. daily, daylight time. The Extra Fare, Merchants Limited, leaves South Station Mondays through Fridays at 5 p.m. The Merchants now carries deluxe coaches in addition to parlor cars for added travel convenience.
Those are the ones with the chairs.
There are many other New Haven trains to New York every day. Pick the one that suits you best. For dependability that can't be beat, next time, go New Haven.
For dependable dependability?
For dependability.
Oh, you stuck in the extra dependable?
Yes, I was off my rocker there for a moment.
Last time I went down to New York, it said 40 and 8 on it, on that particular coach.
Those are good trains.
They were wonderful. Air conditioned.
They're not on the New Haven line, I don't believe.
No, it wasn't the New Haven, definitely not.
No, it wasn't.
I made a fearful blunder and took something else.
Okay.
And I'll never do it again.
Are we going to sing a song today, somebody said?
Well, what's next on the menu here? What is the song? I couldn't sing that. That's a little too tricky for my voice, Bob. I only had 4 years up there.
We'd have to sound like the Andrews sisters to sing that.
Let me hear this lullaby of Broadway while I sleep. Thank you. Hey, that was real great, gentlemen. Honest.
Oh, I love that.
Well, I was up early the other morning, as I am every morning, but I happened to listen to one of those early morning programs. No, not that one.
Oh,
that is
whoever listens to that one.
I announced that Ken and Bill show in the
morning,
and
I'm
running out of cotton for my ears.
You should be ashamed of yourself. Incidentally, while I think of it, someone out at Waverly last night asked us if you play some 8 to the bar on one of those morning shows.
Somebody called
me. Well, I've done my duty. I've told you.
Somebody called me this morning and asked for a little more semi-classical.
Like, so there you are.
The hours or something.
You get all types of listeners to that program.
That person, I believe, was Sergei Kuzovici.
Did he want to hear?
Something like that.
Uh-huh.
He said he was interested in music.
Well, tell me about this morning show you were listening to. What did it sound like?
Bob, there was these two men.
Mm-hmm.
And
one, I suppose, signed the station on, and the other was arriving after he'd been working.
And there was a little byplay there. You know, they figured 5:30 in the morning, the boss isn't listening.
Sure.
In fact, nobody is listening
yeah.
except the engineer.
Well, they can do anything.
And they just talk back and forth there.
Very
and
nice.
Forget the schedule. They
sure.
forget the farm news and everything else.
All right.
So I thought maybe you and I could present a 5:30 a.m. show.
All right. Well, you've signed the station on.
Good morning, everybody. This is WFMF and WFMF-FM. Signing on for 22 hours of swell stuff. We have music, there are news, there are soap operas.
Morning, Ted.
Hello, Al. Welcome. How is the road coming in from Chicopee?
Pretty good this morning, Ted.
I had a little slippery ice up my way.
Yeah, a little tired this morning.
Of course,
morning.
I drive down from Mount Washington every morning.
How are the roads up there?
Incidentally, you got the farm news handy?
I've got it right here, Ted. That, of course, comes along in a few minutes from now. I'm going to read it over here.
Okay, and meanwhile, I'll just talk to the people and tell them that welcome to part one of Happy Birthday to you.
Haven't forgot any commercials, have you, Ted, this morning yet?
Well, the commercials don't start till about 8 o'clock.
Okay, then.
According to Hooper.
Okay.
Okay.
I'll just sit over here and read this farm news over, and I'll
First
be with
of
you.
All, for... Cynthia, up there, she didn't sign her last name, up there on Wakefield. Happy birthday, Cynthia. Cynthia is 42 years old.
I know Cynthia, Ted.
You know, she didn't send me her age, but I called up the house, her husband told me. So,
I don't know
all
Cynthia,
the neighbors of
Ted.
Cynthia in Wakefield, she's 42. Is that farm news ready?
No, I haven't got it. I'm just reading it over here.
How long am I supposed to go along?
Don't want to make any fluff, you know. Why don't you play a record or something?
All right, here's a little disc. It features Ken Wilson at the organ.
I didn't know he was making records now, Ted.
He's on that label.
Oh, he is? Why don't you give him the time, Ted?
Time is 5:35, and here is Arthur Wamsgan.
Might be early in the morning, isn't it, huh?
Arthur Wamsgan and the farm. Go ahead, Arthur.
Thanks, Ted. Wait a minute. You've got another record on there by mistake.
Oh, let's spin through to the end. Might as well, as long as we're playing.
Don't know what it will sound like. I haven't auditioned this record before.
Well, let's listen to it. I wish I had a commercial.
I don't know where to
now.
Jump in on that. Go ahead, keep on.
Jump in anyway.
You. That's the first word. Go ahead. You were meant for me, and I was meant for you. Nature battered you when she was done. You were all a sweet thing, all up in one. You're like a plaintive melody that never lets me breathe. For I'm perfect, angel must have sent you, and they meant you just for me.
You like the cold wind, is that all?
Yeah. I wish I'd auditioned that beforehand.
Who was that singer on that record? Sounded a little like Rudy Valley to me.
No, it sounded a little bit more like...
who is your favorite girl singer?
Spring Byington.
You like her?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think... Excuse me, everybody.
But that's next to Kate Smith.
Kate Smith you like... And then how about Dinah Shore?
Dinah Shore, she's good.
How about, do you like Carol Bruce?
Carol Bruce is good.
She's nice, huh?
Yeah, she's nice.
Well, what do you think of Jack Smith?
She's nice. Oh, he's nice. I like to hear him sing a song every now and then.
Here now, friends, is the trumpet playing of Jolly Burgoyne.
Jolly will be appearing all this week at Murphy's Open Air Theater, Back Pasture, New Hampshire, with his big augmented band.
Jolly is joining the Horace Hyde Orchestra.
Is he joining a unit?
No, he's joining the orchestra because he can play triple-tongue trumpet.
Oh, is that so? All for his work on the Wonderland spot, huh?
And Charlie felt badly because he had three lips, but it pays off now.
Sure does. I bet you're not sorry now, are you?
Two more important races in the $12,500 Wonderland Futurity Eliminations.
Does that mean you can win $12,500 down there?
No, the dog wins it.
Oh. What does he do with all that money?
I don't know what he does with the money. Plus, an all-star nice race. Highlights.
You know, I've seen a dog could spend $40 for $12,500.
I don't know what he does. I suppose
ridiculous.
He squanders it in some way.
Mighty silly.
Where was I?
If I could make that kind of money, I'd run around the track, too.
Well, so would I, but I wouldn't win. Plus, an all-star nice race.
Trouble with me, I always come in second.
Highlights. Will you let me read this?
Sure.
Highlight tonight's program at Wonderland Revere.
12,000.
You'll want to follow these Futurity Eliminations, for out of them will come the winner of the season's biggest stake and next year's champion.
That's more like it. They're running for stakes. Okay.
The big ninth race tonight brings out a well-balanced field of your favorites. There's Tulera Rose, Color Wave.
Old favorite of mine.
Never Sunny, Rural Street.
Never met that one.
Traffic Gear. Harlan, Reno Kitty, and Full Steam. Post time, first race, 7:45. The Daily Double closes at 7:30. So go Greyhound racing tonight at Wonderland. Revere is near, too, from Boston, by MTA from Maverick Station, from everywhere over wide highways. Two big floodlighted free parking lots are provided for those of you who drive. So go Greyhound racing tonight. You'll feel good again. I thank you.
The word is out that there's another benefit night arranged for us.
Where, Bob?
At Magnolia, again.
Oh, honestly? Mm-hmm. Oh, we're having so many benefits lately.
Boy, I'll say.
And we can benefit by those benefits. Because we need them.
We probably can,
we really do. I was thinking we could run something. But if the people are going to be kind enough to run benefits at the casino...
Well,
Magnolia,
I had a good
different.
Idea this morning.
That what
we
was
put
that, Bob?
Bob and Ray hope chests on the common. So
yeah.
People could drop their pennies in.
Pennies or nickels.
Or nickels and dimes.
Or...
any amount, no
contribution
your conscience, too small.
Whatever your conscience says.
Sure.
You can just drop in those little hope chests. I think that's a wonderful idea.
Or Bob. Food packages, because we'll open those boxes daily anyway.
Well, we'd have to, Bob, with food.
I suppose we would.
In fact, we'd have to stand right around the boxes and grab them as they put them
yeah,
in.
Yeah, it'd be better if you just came up and handed us the package.
Uh-huh.
But if you're coming from over 50 miles, don't bother.
Hey, incidentally, I'll see you out at Fenway Park tonight, everyone, for the big ball game between the Red Sox and the invading Highlanders from New York.
Thanks to good old Lee Egan.
Thanks to Lee, I'll be there, right by my AM set in bed.
You can't get out of the game.
Be a sport.
If I can't get out, if you can't take part in a sport, you should bet on them. Meanwhile, friends, until the next time, this
when
is Kate Smith.
Possibly
late. Thanks for listening. So long for now. My day was
we have another 30 seconds.
Huh?
We have another 30
well,
seconds
there's...
if we'd like to use it.
Why? If we elect to use it.
Yes.
Well, let's elect to use it. What can we talk about?
Oh, I don't know.
We can talk about that we haven't forgotten you people who have sent in entries at our concert.
I had a call from the agency this morning. They
oh.
said that the reason you haven't been receiving the candy, for one thing, is the warm weather. The entire staff of Cynthia has been on vacation, too.
Oh, great.
And they're now back, ready to send those packages out. And there's a Mrs., what is her name? Can't think, out in Stoughton, I believe. The package came back. They addressed it to Boston. Wrong address.
Oh, I'm sorry about it. But you'll all get your candy.
Hyams, I think they're
and we'll get to those other contest letters, maybe tomorrow. Can a Bill play the piano and organ?
What are you doing, checking the house out
there? See you again tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Thanks for listening. This is WHCH in Boston.